Amen. Let's pray. Lord Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, there is no one like you. There is no one who is able to save like you. There is no one who has taken us from the pits of hell and given us new life like you. And so, Lord, we come before you as your people now to worship you, to declare your name in our hearts, in our minds, through worship. Lord, we proclaim you as King and Savior over our lives. Lord, we thank you for this church community where we're able to just gather here in this house of worship to be in your presence. Lord, come and speak to us this morning. Come and fill us with your Spirit so that we may know how to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, I also want to pray for those who are unable to join us this morning, whether they're ill or weak, some are traveling, Lord, whatever it may be. Lord, I ask that you place your healing hand over them. May they also be comforted, encouraged during this time as they tune in from home. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and what you have done in 2021. And Lord, we look forward to 2022 as your people, as we gather again to just continue worshiping you, leaning into your presence. Lord, speak to us in powerful and mighty ways, ways that we have never imagined, ways that we can't explain. Move your supernatural hand in our lives so that next year we'll live as more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Lord, again, we thank you. We just pray for this great nation. Pray for the government. We pray for our counties. Lord, as all these viruses and variants, Lord, we need you to come and move. We need you to come and wake us up. We need you to place your healing hand upon those who are struggling. We need you to strengthen our hospital systems, our doctors, our nurses, and all that's happening, Lord. We just ask for you to come. Humble us, teach us your ways, examine our hearts, Lord, so that we can be more like you. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this time of worship. And Lord, we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, take a seat. Well, good morning, church. My name is Ben. I'm the pastor here at Home of Christ Church in Menlo Park. I want to give a warm welcome for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time. Just a couple of church announcements before we get started with today's message is that our fellowships will continue on via Zoom in the new year. So we have Wednesday night adult fellowship, Thursday night college and young adults, Friday night youth groups, and they all happen at 7:30. More information can be found at our website, hocmp.org. Also, our offerings continue online for your convenience, and we do that through our bank apps, through Zelle. Make sure you address it to donations@hoc1.org. Next week, we're going to start a new message series on More Than Conquerors, and we're going to spend the whole month of January looking at Romans chapter 8, looking at our identity in Christ and how we belong to Christ, and because belonging to Christ, we can be more than conquerors on this earth and whatever comes our way in the new year. So I'm excited for that series, and that's going to be for the all of Jan, and it's in line with our church theme, which is more than conquerors. How do we conquer on this earth and be bold and courageous in our evangelism, in our care for one another, and in mission work? So I'm looking forward to that series, and I hope that you guys will be praying over that series as well. Well, today it's good to be with all of you this morning. I know many of you are traveling, and some of you are not feeling well, whatever it may be. I'm so glad either way you're able to join us here in person and also via live stream. Last week I said our college students were like penguins, and they spend 80% of their time in the big ocean, and only 20% of the time they come back home and join us for worship. And now just when they safely arrive and get reacquainted with us all, they have to go out again into the big ocean. So it's actually very sad this time of the year. But regardless, I want you guys to know, for those in college, we are praying for you. We are championing you guys. And we long for that day where you guys are able to join us again for worship. Now, today is our last Sunday service for 2021. Now, what a year it has been. It almost feels like a repeat of 2020, doesn't it? And who knows what 2022 will bring next year with all the news that's going on. But whatever comes our way, it's important for us to know as the English ministry, as a church, that we need to be constantly rooted in the presence of God, renewed in our minds and hearts, so that we fulfill the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also fulfilling the first and greatest commandment, which is to love God and love one another. Now, today being the end of the year sermon, I could take the route of speaking a Christmas message, maybe to wrap up this season, or maybe to wrap up our time of renewal. But after seeking God and after praying, God placed this topic and passage in my heart a month ago to share on the last Sunday of this year. Because I believe this message has a special message in store for all of you guys here in the life of our church, and also for you tuning in at home. Because today, what I want to do is to help us come together to reflect and to remember God. I think forgetfulness is one of the most dangerous things in our human lives, when we forget God. And so today, I want to take this opportunity to recall and remember how God has led us through these last 2 years, through different trials and tests, and also blessings that have come along with what's happened in the last year. So today I have a message titled, Remember God in Good and Bad Times. Remember God in Good and Bad Times. Let's pray. God, our Father, we just call out to you to come and move in our lives. Teach us your ways. Help us to constantly remember you and have you at the forefront of our minds and our hearts. Let us never be forgetful. Let us never take things for granted. Let us never have the state of mentality of entitlement. But rather, let us know that each and every blessing comes from you. And this year, as we wrap up 2021, help us to remember you, to declare and praise you for your faithfulness in our lives, and help us to look forward to the new year, to constantly always remember you. As times get better, as times go back to normal, Lord, help us to always know that you are God and that you are faithful. So Lord, we pray for the remaining of our time. Help us to get rid of any distractions that we have, for you to come and move powerfully in us this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, every person born throughout time has had this experience of needing their parents. From birth, we needed our parents to feed us, keep us warm, swaddle us in a blanket. When we become a toddler, we need our parents to teach us what we can eat, what not to touch, and what we couldn't put in our mouths. And as we moved on from early childhood to our teenage years, we also needed to rely on our parents, right? Give us dating advice, maybe help us out financially, help us out with homework. And then finally, we reach a stage where we're able to go out into the big world and fend for ourselves and stand on our own 2 feet. We gain independence, we cook, we clean, we make money for ourselves, and bit by bit, we become fully independent from our parents. I often hear kids say this to their parents, "Well, I don't need your help anymore. I can do it on my own." Now, these kids echo the heart of every individual as we all strive to be independent from our parents. If you notice throughout your own life as you grow up, you become less and less dependent on your parents who taught you everything and gave you life. In the past, you needed them for a lot of things. But now you're grown up, you can say, well, I've got everything because I was able to do it on my own wisdom, to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining. And after all, who wants old people advice? Who wants, you know, our old parents' advice and their thinking? They're not keeping up with the times. I started to notice this in my own life. Growing up, I was fully dependent on my parents for everything. As far back as I could remember, I would bring my homework to my parents, asking them for help. I would get my parents to drive me to my friend's house, to the mall. I would need money from my parents for socializing. And when I hit college, I also needed my parents to help pay for tuition fees, books, money for socializing again. And even when I started working, if there were unexpected bills that I couldn't pay on time, I needed my parents to bail me out of those times. But as I started to get on my own 2 feet, the less and less I relied on my parents for any help or advice. And so what happened was, throughout time, in the busyness and the self-centeredness of my own life, I sadly forgot how much my life had been blessed by the generosity of my parents from a young age. And as I reflect on my life, I couldn't help but think this truth. Hey, our attitude towards our parents, it's often the attitude that we have towards God, isn't it? Think about it. Throughout our life, God has met us in more ways than one. He blesses us with life, sustenance, wisdom, church, community. Every time we have some sort of hardship or trial, we ask God for help, He helps us. But throughout time, in the busyness and self-centeredness of our lives, we sadly forget how much God has led us. The very fact that He blessed us and gave us everything fades from our memories. Sadly, that is the Christian experience for many of us. We all tend to be way too forgetful. Now, you might think, Ben, being forgetful is fine. It's part of human nature. What's the big deal? Well, I believe forgetfulness is actually very dangerous. Because when we forget God's blessing over our lives, we start to proudly tell ourselves, hey, it was me. I did this. It was my wisdom. It was my ability. It was my strength. And we start to forget God's generosity over our lives. For example, a new work promotion. Well, that was me. How I navigated company politics. That awesome relationship that we're in. Well, that was me because I have a high EQ. Or some boys might think because I'm handsome, right? That great college. Well, that was me because I did the college applications. I have good genetics. Money in the bank. That was me. I've worked hard. I've invested well. And so bit by bit, we start to take credit for ourselves in these areas and we forget everything actually comes from God. And so we start to live this life of entitlement. We start preaching to ourselves, well, I deserved it. Because everything I have, everything that I own, comes from these two hands. Now, what's interesting is this. This was the experience of God's people in the old times. They had this mentality of entitlement. You see, the Israelites adopted this mindset while they were enslaved by the Egyptians. Throughout time, as they were being slaves to the Egyptians, despite their sufferings, as they called out to God for help and God delivered them, but even in their newly acquired freedom, they complained about what they lacked because of their mentality of entitlement. You see, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 to 3, I'll have it on the PowerPoint. It says this, that the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. And they said, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. You see that they were complaining, mentality of entitlement. Numbers 11, 4 to 6. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they'd explained. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. We had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now, our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. You start to see how they started to forget God and have this sense of entitlement. We deserved it. I remember when we had church lunch 2 years ago, and our church, we were very good at ordering this fish, fried fish, right? You guys remember? Fried fish cutlet. And it was at this one point where we had it every single week. And I remember just hearing people say, oh, for some better meat. If only we had roast duck or roast pork like Thanksgiving, right? Maybe vegetarians among us would have said, oh, for some fresh celery sticks or fresh lettuce, whatever it may be. The Israelites had been remembering what they had been given for free in Egypt, though they forgot that they had to pay a great price for it, which was slavery and oppression. And for this free food, they felt entitled to it. And this led them to complain when God led them and disregard all the blessings and the manna that God provided for them. That's the danger of forgetfulness. And that's why we often see the Israelite community constantly complaining to God. No wonder when God deals with his people throughout the Old Testament, if you've noticed in our Exodus series and if, as you read the Old Testament, God doesn't merely say to his people, this is God, right? What does he say? He says, this is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Why does he do this? I mean, why doesn't God just say in a loud, audible voice, this is God? Why does he have to emphasize, this is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt? Why? Because he knows he's dealing with a very forgetful people. This is really interesting, isn't it? Imagine college kids, when you come back, And for some whatever reason, you know, you guys forget us at college, and you come back, and I grab one of you and say, "This is Ben, your pastor who led you from middle school." You'll think that's a bit strange, right? You'll be like, "What the heck? You know, Ben, my memory's not that bad. I know who you are." But God does this. He says, "This is God who brought you out of Egypt." Why does he emphasize this? Because he knows he's dealing with a forgetful people. And what happened was throughout time, they forgot God's blessing and guidance over their lives. And they started to see what they had was because of their own self-effort. They no longer needed God. And they lived in this state of entitlement. Now, I want you to get your Bibles ready and turn to our main passage today, which is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 18. You can pull that up on your phones or on your Bibles. Just get it ready. And we're going to learn a few quick lessons here at the Home of Christ in our home church here. And the reason why God's placed today's passage and topic in my heart instead of doing a Christmas message is because something that I've noticed in the last 2 years since the pandemic started. You see, when last 2 years, at the start of 2020, I started to notice something in our community. We started trusting in God. We started leaning into him because things were crazy. A lot of us spent a lot of time looking up John Hopkins stats. Pandemic hit, numbers were skyrocketing. Most of us never experienced a deadly disease like this. We're kind of fearful. We know friends who have lost loved ones, lost jobs. Some of us couldn't travel to see loved ones who were dying. I know people within our church that couldn't go back to China because their parents were dying or whatever reason. And on top of that, there was a lot of political and social tensions. And because of that as well, added into the mix, a lot of friendships were lost. A lot of friendships were bruised because everyone had their own view. Everyone was kind of navigating the season of political, social tension and pandemic. And to be honest, it was actually quite tough for many of us. I've had countless of people say to me, "These last 2 years kind of feel like a blur. You know, I don't know what's been going on." Their hearts have felt heavy, just navigating all the political stuff. Like, what can you say, what you can't say? And on top of that, when you look at all your social media feeds, whatever it may be, constant barrage of just COVID news, death, wars, and the list went on. And because of this, what I started to notice was, hey, a lot of us were actually leaning into God. A lot of us were trusting in God. We had worship and prayer nights that many of you attended. Our fellowships from youth group, young adults, adult fellowship was at an all-time high throughout the history of EM. We showed care for one another because we couldn't see one another. A lot of us were praying and leaning into God and his promises. And some of you were even telling me, "Hey, Ben, I've never prayed this much before. I started reading the Bible again." But one thing that I've noticed throughout time in these last 2 years, but bit by bit, we started to adjust to this new normal, didn't we? As our lives got a bit more comfortable, as we started to tune ourselves to what was going on, some of us got promoted at work. Some of us got new jobs, new opportunities. We got more comfortable. Investments were growing. We were saving more money because we didn't spend as much. Political and social tension started to ease down. We started to get complacent, comfortable. And bit by bit, our desire for God and trusting in him faded away from our memories. And it's fair to say, just like the people of old, we also became a forgetful people. We started to live with this mentality of entitlement. And so my concern is as we head into 2022, the new year, when slowly things will pick up again, when we start traveling, work conditions get better for us, all the things that come back with the new normal, what I'm afraid is that we might be pulled away, further away from God and relying on him for all things. And before we know it, we fall into this dangerous place of forgetfulness. So today's passage is going to speak into that. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 18. I want you to listen very carefully to what Moses says here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to 18. And you'll see why I chose today's passage. "Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commandments. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as parents discipline a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. And when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Now, there are a few lessons we can learn from this story to help us today to remember God in good and bad times. And the first lesson that I want to point out is this. There is a purpose in the wilderness. There is a purpose in the wilderness. In other words, I believe there was a purpose to all that has happened in these last 2 years. You see, we are told that God led his people through the wilderness in these last 40 years, humbling them, testing them to prove their character, to know what was truly in their hearts, whether they would obey God's commandments. What the wilderness season did was that it removed all the natural means of support that man would rely on. It casted them to be people who needed God. Only God could provide the strength for them to survive in this wilderness season. So they experienced God's provision through manna, through his own mouth as he uttered commands. It was a constant time of waiting and relying and pressing into the promises of God. Why? Everything was stripped away when they left Egypt. And God came into the picture to fulfill their every need. He did this to humble them so their hearts will be revealed. You know, I often think when it comes through different seasons in our own lives, especially the tougher seasons, seasons of hardships, trials, and suffering, I believe it serves as the way to humble us and test our hearts, doesn't it? That is the same message in the book of Job. A righteous man in the Bible who had everything taken away from him, his family, his livestock, his wealth, difficulties test us and cause us to rely on every word of God. Trials are to create in us a dependence on God. God rules over our suffering. God rules over every trial that we face, every time we are in the wilderness. And he allows this so that you and I can learn an important lesson in the wilderness, which is in verse 3, that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, God is trying to teach a critical truth in the wilderness season. Life is all about trusting God every step of the way. God gave Israelites food in the wilderness, but more than this, he was teaching them this far greater important truth. What you need to rely on is every word that comes out of my mouth. The focus is not on the manna. The focus is on what I say. You know, one scholar says this. He says, material sustenance is important and essential to life. But life is more than food. At each step of the way, the people were being fed by God himself, on whom they depended. Nothing was possible without him. And so for us, as we think and reflect in the last 2 years, it's fair to say that we have been somewhat in a wilderness season, right? As a nation, as a church, some of us even on an individual level. Some of you even told me, even before the pandemic, you felt like you've just been wandering in the wilderness, finding yourself in some dry and barren land, cut off from life's milk and honey, not knowing whether there's actually light at the end of the tunnel. But I want you to know today from today's passage that the wilderness seasons that we have faced has a greater purpose behind it. Why? Because God has brought you to this wilderness season for you to finally come to the self-realization that you do not live on bread alone, but you live on every word that comes from God. So your life, your hope, and your joys are not dependent on circumstances changing or on the manna, so to say, but your life, your joy, and your hopes are dependent on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So whatever you're faced in your life, maybe it's something tough, maybe it's a wilderness experience that you're facing, it teaches us to come to know our human limitations and our weaknesses. You see, God knows us perfectly. He knows every hair on our head. He knows that we need to come to a self-realization of who we are before him. And out of that humbling, when we know our human limitations and our weaknesses, we start to learn an important lesson, which is we need God. We need God in all things. We need his guidance. We need his government over our lives. So dear friends, I need you to think, what trial are you going through today that God is using to humble you? What trial are you facing to cause you to depend on God? What suffering are you currently experiencing so that you would trust in the Lord all the more? We need difficulties in our lives to learn. And that is why they're allowed by God, because God teaches us through these difficulties. And we need this time in the wilderness to learn and to be changed. And one way to look at it is from this perspective. Think about it. In the last 2 years, with all that's happened, what has God been teaching us? What has he done to humble us as a nation during this wilderness season? It's fair to say that God has yet humbled humanity again. Right? In these last 2 years, look at all the deaths, right? Look at all the tensions. Look at all the wars. Look at all the hate. Have we learned our lesson as a church, as an individual, as a nation? Can we now look at the wilderness season and say confidently, well, there was a purpose behind this season. There was a purpose for the church because of this pandemic. I believe God used this pandemic to teach us many lessons. A few of them is, hey, humanity is not as strong as we think we are. Humanity is not as united as we think it is. The church has not been as biblical throughout the centuries as we think it has been. Our Christian lives are not as firm as we hoped it would be. We're so quick to fear. What are some of the lessons that God has been teaching us through this wilderness season? I mean, it would be such a pity to look at the last 2 years of wilderness and walk away from it thinking only about COVID jabs, COVID tests and COVID and masks and hand sanitizers, instead of what God has been doing in your life, in the life of our church and in our nation. You see, my hope is that in the last 2 years of wilderness season, we were able to re-examine our spiritual lives, rekindle the love that we had at first, and have a greater dependency on God for all things. Second, when we come out of this wilderness season into the next year, there's one danger that we all face. We are in danger of forgetting God when times are good. You see, with the Israelites, they trusted in God for manna, all the plagues, but God, Moses was warning them, right? When you get to this land, it will be plentiful, it will be good, but be careful, because it is when times are good, you'll forget me. It's fair to say when times are tough, a lot of us naturally will trust in God. But when times are good, when we're winning at life, often the result is we become independent from God and dependent on stuff. God warned the Israelites of this behavior and reminds them to remember him when times are good. Unfortunately, our sinful nature tends to forget God. When the bank account is full, when our kids are healthy, our future looks bright, we're back to the new normal. In these times, we often lose grip on God. We often feel like, hey, things are under our control now. We can handle life. You know, I remember when I was a kid riding a bike on training wheels. You know, I was fully dependent on these training wheels and for my parents to steer me along. Once I got off these training wheels, and then bang, riding off into the sunset, right? And then you leave your parents behind and you say, like, see you later, I've got everything under control, I can handle it. God warned the Israelites of this very thing. During these 40 years, I met your every need. But as you stood at the edge of the promised land, you're ready to enter, God started to say, hey, there are dangers when it comes to prosperity. There are dangers when times are good. When food, water, resources are plentiful, God knew that, hey, they will start having this attitude of forgetfulness. They will forget God. And I think there's a grave temptation when we're full and satisfied in life, isn't there? That's why in verse 12 to 14, we see, if we have it on the screen, when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Our hearts become proud and we forget the Lord and all that he has done for us. You see, when we experience prosperity, we forget that God delivered us in the first place. Pride must not come from our possessions, because pride leads us to forget God, and disobedience comes from forgetting what God has done for us. Prosperity makes us think that wealth is because of our wisdom, ability, power, and knowledge. Look at verse 17 and 18. He did all this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. I'll just get the worship team up as I wrap it up. God says, you have these blessings because he gave it to you. You have blessings because God gave you that knowledge. God gave you that power. God gave you that strength. God gave you that decision-making ability. God gave you everything so that you will give praise to him. There is something very dangerous about prosperity. You see, prosperity is just as much a test of faith as the trials of life. Prosperity also tests what's in our hearts to see if we will truly remember God when times are going well. When the immediate experience is one of security and comfort, then the reality of God fades away from our memories. Thomas Watson, a famous Puritan, once said, in prosperity, the heart is quick to be divided. In prosperity, the heart is quick to be divided. I'll share a personal story. As most of you know, we're expecting a child next year in June. We're expecting a child next year in June. And in these last 3 months, Ruth has faced incredible hardship. Like one of the hardest times, you know, we've been to the doctors, trying to find the right medicine, and her pregnancy nausea symptoms have been really bad. Even to the extent that she's been bedridden on weeks. And it was so bad that, you know, I had to spoon feed her. That's how bad it became. And in those times of hardship, you know what I did every night? Every time she faced some sort of hardship, I got on my knees to pray. We're just praying every day, trusting in God, leaning into his promises. And we tried all the medicine. It didn't work. Throwing up 3 to 4 times a day. It was just really, really bad. And so I was praying and leaning into God. And so when things started to get better, you know what happened? I stopped praying. When things started to ease up, I forgot about God. Saying, oh, you know, it's because of my care for Ruth that she got better. It's because of the things that I made for her, cooked for her. It's made her better. When times were going well, we forgot God. I forgot God. And that's what I've noticed actually throughout our whole lives, isn't it? When times are going tough, when we're in the wilderness seasons, right, we need God. But when times are going well, God fades away from our memories. Is that not true of our lives? Is that not true when we're winning at life? When everything is on cruise control, our hearts start to be divided. But friends, it is actually in those times, all the more you and I need to keep on leaning into the promises of God. That's why we need to constantly set ourselves reminders in the good times, jotting down memories, calendar reminders on our phones, singing praises at home, partaking of sacraments, Holy Communion, coming to worship, doing our devotions, because those all serve as a reminder that even in times where it's prosperous, when times are good, we need God. And we need to constantly recall and remember what God has done for us. And so I'm praying and hoping that this last message of the year will spur each and every one of you on to be constantly reminded that, hey, not only in these 2 years, in this wilderness season, as a church, as a nation, as some of you as an individual, God has led us. God has led us all the way up to this point. And whatever we face next year, when things go back to the new normal, when things get better, all the more we got to keep on leaning into God, trusting in God and not forgetting God. And all the while you and I do this, whether in hardship or prosperity, in bad and good times, we must always have at the forefront of our minds and our hearts that this earth that we're currently living in is not all that there is. Whatever good things we enjoy, guess what? Will not last forever. Whatever bad things we endure will also not last forever. Because there is a far greater kingdom which wipes out suffering. There is a far greater kingdom which gives us a far better bread than what this world can offer. And this kingdom is awaiting our return. And so the question is, are we praying in our hearts, Lord, come, come and redeem us. Come and take us to this heavenly home. So I want to serve you guys as a reminder, encourage you in the last message of this year to remember God. To remember God in the good times, remember God in the tough times. And bring that mentality into the new year. Because next year, things might pick up. Economy starts picking up. Some of us have started new jobs. Investments are going well. We're going to start getting back into the normal routine. But there is a danger to it. We start to forget God and how much we needed Him 2 years ago. So let's pray. God, our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word, which serves to remind us to always trust in You, to know that You are Lord and Savior over all things. Help us to recall Your faithfulness when times are tough. Help us to recall Your faithfulness and Your goodness when times are going well. Help us to never forget who You are and what You have promised. Help us to constantly remind ourselves and remind one another in our church community how You are so faithful and You are so good to us. Because never once You have left us alone. You have always been there, each and every step of the way. Ever since we were in our mother's womb, from early childhood to our teenage years to our adult lives, You have been there for us. So for that, we give praise and we give You all the glory and honor that is due to You alone. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this time of worship. Thank You for all this year and how You have led us into the new year. And we're praying for a greater time next year. We're praying for a more courageous spirit to evangelize, to love one another, to do mission works, to give. We're praying for a greater 2022 where we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Pray all this in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior.